You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay. Okay. Woo, 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 woo!
All right, so if you're just getting in your car,
two holes,
or whatever, we'll get to the holes conversation in a sec.
Yeah.
No Kawhi Leonard tonight for the Clippers.
I'm disappointed, man. The Clippers have been giving the Suns everything they can handle.
Yeah, great series. And it's because Kawhi's been awesome.
I'm, by the way, I'm glad they load management managed him all year.
That's what
long.
I just said to you a second ago.
Well, we were just you weren't here, but what do you think? If you were Ballmer and you have more money than any owner in the NBA, you can kind of do whatever you want. Would you bring the same group back if they get swept out 4-1 in this series? It'd be the fifth year of Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the experiment's not going to work.
It works when they're healthy, but they're just never healthy.
Yeah, probably you take another run at it. Probably.
Why? Because it may be your only move. Like, let's talk about...
Yeah, I don't know what the other move is.
Contractually,
I don't know what the other move is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so Kawhi would be very tradable.
You're betting on the thing that has never happened is finally happening.
There are no superstars available this summer in free agency.
I'm not saying that there's a better option that's very obvious. I'm saying that at some point, it is what it is. And you got to try something different. This is not unlike Lob City, a generation ago.
Right.
When you had those three guys, they were good, but they clearly weren't good enough.
They were always there, and they just weren't good enough to win.
But it's the same. But
you can sell yourself on they haven't been available.
Emily and I had this argument the other day. They're only not good because he's not there. What difference does it make? If he's not there, he's not there.
That's fair.
I don't understand why saying, we're only lose because he never plays. Who gives a damn? He doesn't play.
You asked me, Trav, a question earlier. You said, is there anybody? You were talking about Anthony Davis.
Right. And
you guys are, I know we're very down on Anthony Davis after last night.
Were you not?
Yeah. No, he was terrible last night.
Well, here's my counter to it.
Can I set it up again, John, just so people know
absolutely
what we're talking about?
Yeah.
So I think one of the reasons that Laker fans, and I'm putting myself in this group, get so frustrated with Davis specifically is because of the gap between the best version of him and not the injured version, but the version we saw last night where he's passive, he's not particularly aggressive, and he doesn't impact the game in a meaningful way. Not that he plays bad. Everybody has games where they play bad, but it's almost like he's not even there. And that this is a guy that frequently is talked about as one of the best players in the game, who also frequently is talked about like zero impact. And I was struggling to come up with other guys that have best player in the league ceilings and what the hell's going on with that guy floors.
Okay, so I question your use of the term zero impact, and here's why. You guys are only looking at the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis has
five blocks.
12 block shots in two games. 12. Seven in game one, five in game two. The last time a Laker had that many blocks while scoring double figures in both games with Shaq. That's how far back you have to go to that. So I would argue that he's been the heart of the Lakers defensively. And here's the rub offensively. He's getting doubled and sometimes tripled every time he touches the ball, especially in game two. So if you're him, you have to make a decision. Do I fight through it and shoot it anyway, which is what he kind of decided to do last night, and go 4 for 14... Or
why is he not drawing more fouls?
Or do I throw it out to guys like Hachimura and Reeves, who are hot in game one, and Russell, and let them take open shots? I don't know the answer as to what he should do offensively. They need to figure that out. But I'm not down, guys. I'm not down on the Lakers at all. I mean, you guys sounded today like you were almost...
Oh, no, they split. I mean, that's
you were almost talking about a funeral. I mean, I think it's fair because, Trav, you always say context. They didn't look good last night, but I still... Winning titles, guys, is hard.
It's super hard.
I've been to eight finals. It's every year. There was one year where the Lakers kind of just trounced everybody. It was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
They went 15-1.
That's right.
The one loss was when Iverson dropped 48 on him in game one of the finals.
Al and I were talking about, I think Al and I both believe that the Lakers are still going to win this series.
Yes.
But what I was so disappointed
What I was going to say, Travis, there is one game in every one of those eight finals runs I've been to that looked like last night.
And that's fair. But my point wasn't that they're dead in the water and they lose the series. Right. My point was you had a chance to do what you just described, John, which doesn't happen very often, which is give yourself a relatively smooth path to the next round.
Fair enough.
Right.
To go through and play fewer games.
Especially with no job.
That's the key. Their best player is out.
Okay, so here's another thing that I don't think gets talked about enough on shows like ours. Trev, you made the point, and I think most fans come to the conclusion you came to, that part of that is coaching, that Darvin Ham needs to prepare them. Guys, do me a favor. Go back and watch the most recent episode of Backstage Lakers. It aired last night. It has Darvin in the locker room after game one. They let the Backstage Lakers cameras go in the locker room before the media ever gets in there. So Darvin comes out and he goes, guys, humble in victory. I know we just won this game, but I'm telling you, we didn't come here to just win one game. Put all of your focus on game two. You need to forget what just he did, Trav, everything you said he should do.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, and that's his message, and you can watch it. I mean, he teaches it, and LeBron speaks up. He goes, humble, people, humble. That's one. It's only one. They had the right mentality.
Where's the disconnect? He goes, okay.
I'm going to tell you where.
The message to the performance, something disconnected.
Here's where it was.
The urgency, the desperation that Memphis clearly opened the game with, the Lakers could not match it.
Quotes, we came out lethargic in the first quarter. First quarter, they got best of us. They came out and punched us in the mouth first, and we didn't respond well. So,
well, what I would say is, if I told you guys that if you don't do a good show tomorrow, that your run at ESPN LA is over.
Oh, man.
You basically, your season is done.
Isn't it a seven-game series? Don't we get seven games
with other people?
This is Amanda's idea,
I've been in that office before.
Yeah. And they said, but if you guys don't put on a great show tomorrow, we're just going to try something else.
Yeah.
Wasn't that kind of what Memphis was facing? If they would have lost that game last night, they could come back. But to go down
82%. The series would have been over.
And yeah, the two home games 82%
would have been over. Yeah, series would have been over.
So I knew they were coming out desperate.
Sure.
And I knew Tyus Jones. And, you know, Michael was talking about game in the refrigerator.
But isn't that the point to match that desperation?
And, you know,
he didn't put the game in the refrigerator.
He put the game in the fridge in the pregame.
In the pregame, it was in the fridge.
That doesn't count.
And he's abusing the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But I knew Memphis was going to come out with a huge sense of desperation. That's why John Conchar blocked AD twice. I mean, it's just... They were basically saying we're not going to die. You have to kill us, and the Lakers couldn't kill them. So now we go to game three. But I'm very despite my tone for most of the game last night, which was
you were very depressed,
morose.
Last night.
Yeah, John, well, so me and Billy Mack both were like, have we ever wanted the Lakers to win a playoff game more than this? We don't want to come back.
That's
here.
The whole point that I was talking about all day. It was this. It was sitting right there.
Yeah.
Their best player wasn't there. Steven Adams isn't
there. It doesn't happen often
Brandon
in the playoffs where everything lined your way.
This was the one that if you said create a scenario where you can grab it, it was that, and they didn't.
But
look at all the other series.
I think there's only two of them where one team's up 2-0.
Boston and
Denver.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody else is. You know, this is the Lakers aren't in trouble yet. Now, if they lose Saturday, I'll have a different tune when I see you guys.
I don't think they win the series.
Game threes, 73% of the time, the team that wins game three wins the series.
Right, and the Lakers get it here.
Yeah.
I'm still very high on them. Okay, so Mason and I want to do something with you guys. Emily and Taylor, you're part of this too. So did you guys see the story about Robert Griffin III casted an entire movie of the Jalen Hurts story?
Okay.
And he picked every actor... And that who would be in it, and it was pretty good.
Shamar Moore played Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Yes,
so I can't remember who he picked to play Jalen.
They look
Hurts.
Exactly alike.
But he picked Michael B. Jordan to play Jalen.
Okay.
Hurts.
Shamar Moore's
right.
better.
So Mason and I took that idea, and decided to completely cast ESPN LA the movie.
Okay.
All right. So we each have different casts. So we're gonna do our whole cast later.
Okay.
But we wanted to do your show while you were here.
Yes.
Okay. I like
now,
it.
Okay. So my goal was just to let the four of you know. Was to cast somebody who could play you that I think would be a good representation, but also somebody that you would approve of. I'm not going for a joke here.
I ended up with a joke.
Okay. All right. That was my philosophy.
All right.
So you guys can vote yes, no, or you're out of your mind.
Start with Taylor and work your way up.
Okay. Taylor, for you, I picked John Krasinski. What do you think?
Oh, that's great.
I'll take it. Yeah, that's
that's all right. Flattering.
Okay, yeah, Mace, who'd you pick for Taylor?
I picked Nicholas Braun, who plays Cousin Greg.
Also,
on Succession.
Also pretty good.
Let me look him up real quick.
Yeah, no, he's handsome.
He's very tall.
Handsome and only speaks up when.
That's why I like that.
I might like yours.
I do
a little better.
For that reason that Nicholas Braun's character, at least in Succession, is very soft spoken.
Okay, we asked Greg to do it too. Greg, who'd you pick for Taylor?
For Taylor, I have Miles Teller.
Oh, that's okay.
He has the stash now.
Not tall enough, maybe.
But it's not all about the height.
Okay.
So yeah, but he's 6'5". He's got to be somebody tall.
Well, no, he can project taller.
All right, so Taylor, if we give you the last word and you get to pick between Nicholas Braun, John Krasinski, and Miles Teller, who are you taking?
I think this Braun guy looks pretty good.
Okay, so Nicholas Braun. All right, there Mace, you get the first casted role.
Nice.
All right, M, for you, this skews a little bit older than you are, but she's pretty perfect for you, and I think you'll like it. Maybe not. I picked Amy Schumer. What do you think?
I like Amy Schumer a lot.
She's great.
Do you think she could play you a little? She's a little older than you, but I think could pull it off.
I think it could work. Yeah.
All right, Mace, who do you got for Emily?
I cast Ellie Kemper. Do you know who Ellie Kemper is?
I love Ellie Kemper.
Is that from The Office?
Yeah.
No, yeah, from The Office.
Later years.
Oh, yeah.
She plays Erin.
Erin,
she's good.
She's Greg, who do you have for Emily?
There's also Kimmy Schmidt, right? Wasn't she Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes, she was. Yes.
So for Emily, I have Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler, very funny. It's not a lot. She's in her 40s, right? But so is who you had. Amy Schumer's in her 40s, too.
Yeah, 41.
Yeah.
So she'd have to play younger. Em, if you're presented with those three choices, who would you pick?
I think Amy Schumer, she has more edge. Yeah. Okay. So I like Amy Schumer.
Good.
So that's you.
All right. I agree with both of their choices so far.
Slee,
yeah.
For you, I hope you know who this is.
Okay.
I picked Cal Penn. He's a little bit, a salute to your heritage. He's kind of funny, but subtle.
Dry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like Slee.
All right.
What do you think of that initially?
That's okay. I'm all right, Cal Penn.
Mace, who you have for Slee?
Okay.
I had to look him up.
Little bit more. He has a show called Rami. Okay. I don't know if you've seen
I saw
this.
I saw the show.
Rami Youssef. If you clean him up, shave his head.
Rami's
no beard.
Solid. The show's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Bergman, who you got for Slee?
So I went with Kumail Nanjiani. Who is very, very funny.
Is he the Big Bang Theory guy?
Big Bang Theory. He's also
played Raj on the Big Bang Theory?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Nanjiani, yeah. He's
very
funny. He has a dry sense of humor.
By the way, workout fanatic.
Yeah, like very strong.
Like super cut.
He played a
in the Marvel. He's in the Marvel universe now, yeah.
That's the same guy from Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
Boy, he changed his body completely.
Right. Completely.
You see him, Slee?
Okay.
I'm looking for him right now.
Kumail Nanjiani.
That's him right there.
All right, I'll go Rami.
Rami.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not doing very well with this.
Trav,
yeah.
You were the hardest. I wanted, because there aren't a lot of actors that are your size. Okay?
Get ready.
Okay. No. So, I kind of...
That is rough to hear.
No, but at first...
Brendan Fraser from The Whale.
No. He's too big for you. But at first, I was going to go Kevin James, but he's not tall enough.
Kevin James is pretty good.
But he's not... What is he? I'm a lot taller than him, right?
So I went with Jason Segel. He's 6'4". He's
I'll
a good
that.
Athlete.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's kind of got your sense of humor.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like that a lot.
All right, Mace, you got for Trav?
Larry the Cable Guy.
I actually like that.
That's not bad.
Look at Larry the Cable Guy.
That's not bad.
I actually like that.
That's kind
Emily,
of
what do you think of that?
Ballpark.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's kind of
this
in the
be
ballpark.
Very interesting group.
What's your reaction to Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, I don't love it. Let's just say.
You'd be a hit with the kids. He was Mater in the Cars movies.
Yeah, I don't love Larry the Cable Guy for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
But Jason Segel,
we got one more. Greg, who do you got for Trav?
So the last one, by the way, I did all of this with Amanda. She did it my entire thing with us. So me and Amanda combined came up with
joint suggestion.
Yes, exactly. And so Travis, we went with Vince Vaughn. Tall, like a father figure type.
Don't even think twice. That's
yeah,
great.
That's a win for you.
Yeah, that's a great one.
As compared to Larry the Cable Guy. I would say so.
But between Jason Segel and Vince Vaughn, who would you pick?
I think Jason Segel is more of my personality than right. Vince Vaughn, but I prefer the Vince Vaughn yeah. comparison.
I stand by Larry the Cable Guy.
I can see
I
why.
Don't hate that, by the way. All right, the yeah, so we'll reveal. We've got him for our show. We've
That's
got
a good
him.
Idea. That's
we've
a really
got
good
him
idea.
For Sonato and Cap. We've each got one for Amanda.
Do you do yourselves?
Yes.
Yes, we okay. do ourselves.
We do ourselves, right. and we will do them all between now and 4 o'clock.
Yeah. That's Larry yes. the Cable Guy. What is it most about Larry the Cable Guy that
strikes
you? By
the way,
who
would you pick if I said you cast yourself? Would you just somebody come to mind, or would you have to think about?
You know, I saw this on Twitter the other day. Somebody put a picture next to me and this particular famous comedian, mm-hmm. and there is a strong resemblance.
Who is that?
Bert Kreischer.
I don't know who that is.
So Bert Kreischer is a well-known comedian, and he's got a beard like mine. He's heavy like I am, and he's a comedian. So I'm not super familiar with his comedy, but that one
he's funny.
He looks a lot like there. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. The
show Ireland. That's Bert Kreischer.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that
by the way.
I'm not really a shirtless type of guy.
Well,
but,
as I
yeah.
found, see, I offered you $100 just to take off your shirt.
Not happening. Yeah.
And Mace like did the whole full Monty.
I know
and,
he did.
For $100.
And Mace is a much braver man than me.
Anything for $100.
Who's in much
bill.
Better shape right, than I am.
By the way, just I have to make a quick adjustment. Kumail Nanjiani was not on Big
I didn't
Bang
think
Theory.
So.
Oh.
He was
on Silicon Valley. Kunal Nayar was on Big Bang Theory.
We got those guys. So if we let you cast yourself, would you go with one of our choices, or would you pick somebody else?
That's a good question. Never really thought about that.
Well, you can think about it and listen to tomorrow, but
let me think about it.
Yeah. Can I throw my hat in the ring for Slee's character?
Yeah.
Because we've kind of dabbled
in this
before. Because the resemblance is really strong.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci.
Oh, Stanley Tucci's good.
Yeah.
No, he's a lot older.
He's
than
older
Slee.
Than Al.
He's have
probably 60.
I have a friend who's a dead ringer for Stanley Tucci, so much so that people walk up and treat him like Stanley Tucci.
Ask him about Slee's good Italian restaurants.
He's too young.
Much younger, but there's a Tucci vibe coming at me across
Big
the table.
Big Tucci
no
vibe.
Hair.
Tucci
Larry
vibe.
The Cable Guy. How dare you?
I actually think it works.
It's not far off.
Larry the Cable Guy's a redneck.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be.
Yeah, no, he can play... Orange County.
Certain kinds, areas. I think that it's the resemblance I don't like, but the...
he'd be the funniest guy on the show.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'll take Jason Segel.
All right, there you go.
Larry, the kid, I got to go get on a treadmill.
I said you weren't going to like it.
You were right.
Yes.
Super Crosstalk is coming up. I should say we just did Super Crosstalk powered by In-N-Out Burger.
Something's
That's what a hamburger
up.
Is all about. And more Larry the Cable Guy insults after that. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, I have a good story to start us off on 420.
Okay.
So as you know, I'm new to the
Puttayesca scene.
Dispensary scene.
The dispo scene.
Yeah. So if you don't listen to the show regularly, I have huge, almost indescribable problems sleeping, and I got hooked on Ambien, and my doctor said you've got to get unhooked. And several people I know, including Mace, said, you got to get into cannabis gummies because they will make you sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't get hooked on Ambien. So for about 2 months now, I have been using cannabis gummies.
Yes.
And they work great. I have to play with the dosage.
Yeah.
As we made a joke about, I'm now up to 20 milligrams pretty consistently
every night.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
So in Memphis, I ran out.
No.
No, it's okay. I had enough to get me through the last night.
Okay, got it.
So today, when I woke up, I said, I'll just, there's a lot of dispensaries on my way to work. I'll pop in one. I'll get more stuff.
Stop at the dispo.
Yeah. I've done it. Probably, this is probably the third or fourth time I've done it.
Yes.
All right. Line out the door.
Really?
And I went, what's going on?
What's a holiday?
No, it's 420 is their busiest day of the year.
Oh, I believe
and
it.
I said, well, I'm not going to wait in line. I'll just come back tomorrow. They said, well, if you wait in line, you'll get ridiculous discounts. I go, well, how much? And she said, well, it's like buy two, get one free of everything.
Right.
So I just wait in line and load it up.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a dispo today, leave early. It's they say, I didn't, did you know that? That 420 is their biggest day of the year?
Oh, sure. It's a holiday sale. I mean, it's a holiday for me.
Yeah. Greg, did you know that? That I probably shouldn't have stuck my head in there on 420?
I mean, this is how little you know about the cannabis industry.
Right.
Yes, yeah. It is the biggest
So
day
everybody
of the year.
Knows this except me.
At my dispo when
and
I
by
walk
by the way, the line moved fairly quick. I was probably in the line for 20 minutes.
At my dispo when I walk in, they go, Mace! It's like Cheers. It's like going to Cheers. Mace!
Yeah, well, don't you get it delivered?
I'm trying
to do that.
I've decided to start going in. I like the social experience. It's like going to a video store.
But why are you afraid to have it delivered?
Because
you don't have any food delivered?
I do, but it's a pain. You've been in my house. It's a pain in the rear to get through the gate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I'm afraid that the guy would just say, I'm not dealing with this gate. I'm leaving.
Right,
so
right.
It's easier for me to just pick it up.
Well, happy 420 to everybody.
The thing about that, though, is I bet you there is plenty of people in that area that still gets delivery.
Yeah, true. I eventually, I'll work myself up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that Pepe laughing?
No, this is actually Andy Kamenetz.
Oh, is that him trying to do a sheep?
Yeah.
Goat?
No goat last night. No goat. Game player of the game. It was a
so now.
It was a
Travis and Slee are really down.
Are they
on the Lakers? Well, I mean, I think
they got overwhelmed from the beginning of the game. They inched their way back towards the end, but they were never really a threat in that game.
Here's the way I look at it: the Lakers played about as bad as they could play, especially AD. That might be the worst game I've seen him play offensively this year. The funny thing about that I think a lot of Lakers, I was frustrated. If you listen to me call the game, I was like despondent.
You always sound sad when they're losing.
Yeah, I do. I'm like desperately wanting them to win. But here's the thing. They played bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're down 20.
Right.
They cut it to 6
yeah,
with
they did
5
get,
minutes to go.
They got there.
They just waited too long to go to the whip.
Wasn't quite there.
Yeah, and so I'm not discouraged. I Mace, winning a title is hard,
well,
man.
I honestly, I'm not surprised. No, I thought Lakers
this
and 6
from
the start.
This was never going to be a sweep.
Yeah, I thought Lakers and 6 from the start. I still feel like Lakers and 6 is probably right. Saturday is absolutely critical. That stat always scares me. In a series that is 1-1, the team that wins game 3 wins 73% of the time. So game 3
on
Saturday
is
huge.
Why I'm so surprised Kawhi Leonard's not playing tonight. Now, I never want to make fun of a player's injury.
Yeah.
And they say it's a knee injury and he can't go. If that's the case, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Clipper fans, but man, this is a big game for them.
Yeah, hey, huge.
And they've shown guys that they can handle the Suns. The Sun, they're not scared of. They beat him in the first game and almost beat him in the second game.
Hey, can I go back to the Laker game for just a
second?
Yeah,
so sure.
I was driving home and I was listening to you on, especially in the first quarter.
So despondent. He was despondent.
So this is one of the calls that I remembered. I'm glad they actually pulled it.
Here is Tyus Jones dribbling right down the middle, runner in the lane, foul and a bucket, and Memphis is putting it on the Lakers. 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Memphis 14. And the Lakers 7.
It's 14-7, and you're
right.
Like, God,
but
they're
you know,
putting it on the Lakers.
It was 7-2 Lakers.
Sure.
So we went from 7-2 to 14-7.
It
was a 12-0 run.
Sure. Yeah. It was just more so that it was like it was so despondent.
Who are you
after
to pick on John
I'm
Ireland's
not, I was
play
just like,
by play call?
He was just saying that he was.
I know. I was.
Balls.
So was Billy Mack. We both talked about it. We really wanted. We always want the Lakers to win.
Yeah.
But because this was selfish. But because this is the furthest eastern city in the Western Conference.
Yes.
Now we go back next Wednesday.
Right.
It's just a haul.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and it was probably never going to be a sweep. But we wanted to hold on to the dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's probably why we were a little
despondent.
Yeah,
I always thought it was unlikely to be a sweep. A gentleman sweep, I thought maybe still could be a gentleman sweep.
Yeah, and for people killing Anthony Davis today, remember that defensively he's just been a monster. It's just offensively. He
was terrible last night.
Okay, so what should he? What do you guys think? He gets the ball in the post. They double him immediately.
Yes.
Would you like to see him kick it out to who's ever open, like Hachimura or Russell or Malik Beasley or LeBron, or just drive into the double team and try and get fouled?
If he's a top five player in the game, and he can be, you go to the rack. You go to the rack and you try
even,
to make
even
that shot.
Even though Hachimura and Reeves just killed him in game one with those shots?
Yeah, I mean, Hachimura was good again last night. But right. I want Anthony Davis. You know, the Lakers are best when they run the offense through Anthony Davis. And last night, he decided to take it to the rack. They really only have one legit big to throw at him, which is
Xavier
Jaren Jackson
Tillman
Jr.
Well, Xavier Tillman played really well.
Yeah, he played
probably
great.
The best game of his
season. Oh, he was the star of the game. But I mean, ultimately, I want Anthony Davis to be in attack mode all the time.
And see, I think it matters what's going on in that situation. Most of the time, he should be kicking out or going to the basket. It just depends on the moment. But he should be able to figure out when that right time is. Guys like Giannis, guys like Embiid know when they're being double teamed how to kick the ball out when at the right time and when to spin.
Well,
or
here's something that Giannis is really good at. Giannis is really good at attacking before the defense gets set up.
He waits too long.
And I think the Lakers are going to probably pivot to that on Saturday. That even after makes, rush the ball down before they can get their defense organized, before they can get their double teams going,
right,
and let AD attack that way. I think he normally comes back with really big games after he has a bad game. So I'm looking for big things for him on Saturday. But guys, this was never going to be easy.
Right.
It's, you know, Monty Williams, the Suns coach, has a saying that I think is dead on. Everything you want is on the other side of hard. It's hard to win a title. It's hard. These teams, there's no 10-win teams in the playoffs anymore. These teams are all good.
Right.
And Memphis was favored to win the series at the start of it.
And favored to win that game.
Yeah. So, well, I think the Lakers were favored by one.
Were they favored?
And when the Ants job was out.
Yeah.
But still, I'm feeling good about where they are. I think they're going to win the series.
I remain optimistic. Bergman, how do you feel about your Memphis in six pick?
Look, I still want the Lakers to win. I'm hoping the Lakers win. That was my pick at the beginning. I have to stick with what my pick was,
yeah.
But I want the Lakers to win.
Yeah.
Hey, can we now say that if the Dodgers don't shake up this roster that they're not making the playoffs, or is it too early to say that?
Let's see if we can say that next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Some Rihanna. Mason and Ireland, what's up? Happy 420 to everybody who celebrates the herb.
You want a
let's go.
You want a poem in honor of 420?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Hovick just sent us a poem.
Yes.
All right, so it's long, so just tell me to stop if it's going to.
All right.
April 20th, a date to remember for those to enjoy a certain member of the plant kingdom so green and tall that some consider a gift to us all.
Hmm.
420, the code they use to signal the time to light the fuse and let smoke fill the air, a moment of peace without a care. Some say it's wrong, others say it's right, but for those who partake, it's a beautiful sight to share with friends, to relax and unwind, and leave the troubles of the world behind. So on this day, let us come together to celebrate the plant we treasure.
Yes.
With respect and gratitude in our hearts for the help that has played its part. Let us remember the ones who fought to give us the freedom that we've got.
Yes.
To use this plant for healing and fun.
Yeah.
And enjoy the beauty of the sun. Happy 420. Let us all rejoice in the herb that we love and the friends we've made our choice.
Nice, very nice.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
You think Hovick got it off ChatGPT? Yeah, no, I was going to credit Hovick.
Hovick gets the credit for going to ChatGPT. So you mentioned Dodgers going to the break there.
Yeah. Let's go. Yes.
They're not good.
So Dodgers lose again yesterday. Tonight they are in Chicago. And I was on the Blue Review today, which was...
party hoedown on your phone?
Which was a thrill to be on the air with Greg Bergman.
It was very fun. Thank you for coming on, Mace. I appreciate it.
And
fill in for CY.
Yeah, it was a fairly depressing Blue Review. Go watch it.
What'd you guys focus on?
The negative. We focus on the negative.
It's real Dodgers talk.
Yeah, it's real Dodgers
talk. And so we're having conversations that real people are having about the Dodgers.
They are just, at this point, John, a very, very ordinary baseball team.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
We're actually going to reach, I haven't seen the lineup, but is Mookie Betts really going to play shortstop
tonight?
That's
not playing tonight. The lineup
is he still on paternity leave?
Yes.
Okay. But at some point, the suggestion is he would play shortstop. Miguel Rojas is injured. Chris Taylor is banged up. Miguel Vargas at second base is not hitting at all. There are huge middle infield issues. And then the bullpen, every time I see Alex Vesia or Phil Bickford, I'm like, Yency Almonte, these guys are just not delivering like they did a year ago. And hopefully we get Tony Gonsolin back. In the meantime, Dustin May's stuff is not what we hoped for, not consistent like we hoped for.
Right.
There are a lot of issues with this team right now.
Do you want to know the lineup?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So it's James Outman.
Okay.
In right field, Freddie Freeman at first, J.D. Martinez DH, Max Muncy third base, okay. Trace Thompson center field, David Peralta left field, Miguel Vargas second base, Luke Williams shortstop, and Austin Barnes batting ninth and catching.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom third of that lineup
is garbage.
Is terrible. Is just terrible. But is Trace batting fifth?
Trace is batting fifth, and no offense to Trace, I know it's Michael's kid, but he's not really hitting.
What, is it a righty or a lefty that's starting?
Must be a lefty.
They always start Trace against lefties.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they need to shuffle the deck.
And when you say that, what do you mean?
I think they need to do this Tim Anderson trade. If it's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just guys on the internet making stuff up. But if the White Sox are willing to move Tim Anderson for four prospects,
yeah,
it still keeps you in the Ohtani hunt. And it solves your problem at shortstop and gives you a top of the lineup bat, an all-star that could make a big difference. So that's what I would explore. I don't know enough to know if it's an actual thing or if it's just media created.
And yeah. By the way, Javier Assad is pitching for the Cubs tonight at 4:40, and he's a right-hander.
All right, so that's encouraging because
Trace
hits better against righties than he does against lefties for some reason.
Yeah, he's always had reverse splits, and maybe the Dodgers are catching on to that and going to hit him against some right-handers. Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I think the best-case scenario for the Dodgers, at least what I'm looking at, is like 93 wins in the playoffs. By the way, which is fine.
I don't think this is a 93-win team as currently constituted.
I think it's a 93-win team.
Aren't they below 500?
They're a game below 500.
9-10.
Yeah, I mean, we're 20 games into the season.
So 500 is what, 81 wins?
Yeah, 81. 93, I think, is totally possible, especially when Tony Gonsolin gets back. Bullpens juggle, right? I mean, when Daniel Hudson comes back.
He's on a 60-day IL.
Right, but it's 60 days from when he got hurt. It's not 60 days from when he went on the 60-day DL.
When you go from the
10-day
to the 60-day, you're putting yourself in a much further position. You're saying, oh, we need to put you longer.
Yeah, he was a key piece of the bullpen, and I think...
All right, let me ask you guys something.
Yep.
Madison Bumgarner was DFA'd today.
Absolutely
no,
not.
Not even as a fifth option?
Nope.
No. 100% no.
Why not?
His stuff is awful. He was getting lit up every start.
Right. He gave seven runs in three innings last night.
Right, but why not just cut him if he doesn't work out?
Yeah, but why sign him if he's...
Because you can sign him for the major league minimum, and Arizona has to pay his salary.
But if you can't make it in Arizona, you can't make it in Los Angeles. I mean, he was not good enough for the Diamondbacks rotation.
Right.
You know
who really should take a flyer on him? Angels.
Yeah, I think it's over for him.
Maybe.
I think it's
over
for
him. He's a gigantic jerk that yells at people all the time.
Yeah, so...
I know, if he can pitch, I don't care.
But, I mean, but like, you really think him and Max Muncy in the same clubhouse is going to go over well?
I think that as soon as a guy comes to your team that you hated when he was on another team, everybody...
He's such a jerk. No,
Jeff Kent
no
was a jerk, and when he came to the Dodgers, everything was fine.
They all hated him.
Right, but, I mean, he played well. It has nothing to do, though.
By the way, he's a red ass and all that stuff. You know, a giant.
He was yelling at
and
Wilson Contreras.
Beatus and Kisich, all that stuff. If he could pitch, I would say yes.
Of course.
But he can't anymore, so I'll say no.
No.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't that not true?
Yeah. If he was pitching well, sure.
You'd say yeah.
But he wouldn't be DFA'd.
Right. Exactly.
Well, DFA'd and owed $40 million, so they must be really down on him.
Daniel Hudson, by the way, available in June. That would be when the...
That's the earliest
he's available. Exactly.
June.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
June. So I wanted to highlight something. This happened last night on NESN, which is the Boston radio or television network.
Right. New England Sports Network.
And I don't see it on the screen. Bergman, did you get it? This is Alex Verdugo.
Oh, I can set this up.
Yeah.
So Alex Verdugo, this was two nights ago. Alex Verdugo had a game-winning hit.
Right.
And he was being interviewed by a guy named Jemai Webster, who used to be an intern for me at KCAL. Jemai is a really good dude. And it's funny because he reacts the exact same way I reacted when Shaq swore at me. Here's Alex Verdugo swearing because he's happy.
Really evaluate that play again.
Please be fair. Oh, my bad. But please be fair, man. I was like, I just didn't want to pull one
Alex.
Sorry. I didn't want to roll over, you know.
So, athletes swearing post game.
Yes.
It's a cable network.
Yeah, that's what I said. This was my whole point in bringing it up. Let guys be honest and real. On cable, there's no FCC requirement.
Right. They swear.
At
people
all.
Swear on HBO. They swear on AMC.
FX.
Yeah. I mean, why is it a big deal that he's swearing? I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal either. I mean, it's by the way, one of the responses to that tweet is your experience.
Right.
This Alex G tweeted this: Shaq, we're on live. I don't give a blank. I know. It was exactly your response.
But
not credited.
Yeah, that was in 2004, and I was in trouble because it was on regular over-the-air broadcast TV.
We heard the story before, guys.
Yeah, of course you did. It happened, you know, 20 years ago. But I thought what Verdugo did was harmless.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Should we let guys swear on cable?
Yes.
Just be honest. And
by
real.
The way, kids know these words. We think they don't. They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike just said it 2 weeks ago.
No, did you really?
First time?
How did you react?
Maybe third time.
How did you react?
I tried to hold my laughter.
Did you scold her? Did you say that's not a word we use?
Well, afterwards, yeah, because I was driving and she's like, hey, Dad, look at that effing whatever. And I was like,
really?
Wait, what? I'm like, how do you know those words? She's like, mommy. And I was like, okay, I'll have a conversation with your mother.
Does Brenda have a potty mouth?
Yeah, we both do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you guys are saying it, then it really is not a big deal for the kids to say it.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I curse around Riley all the time. If she doesn't curse, but if she did, I'd be like, all right. Whatever.
You do curse around Riley all the time? You don't hold your language?
No, I curse whenever I feel
My
like
mom
it.
Used to say, hold your language.
Hold your
Wait,
language.
Doesn't your mom
hold
curse?
Your language. My mom curses like a sailor.
Yeah.
She
so
really
then who
does.
Cares?
Yeah, see, well, it doesn't matter to me. She's 80, I'm 50.
Just don't do it in school.
By the way, I'm being very generous to myself.
I was going
to
say.
She's 80 and
you're
I'm 50.
Plus 9.
Don't do it in school. You know, the teachers say it in the break room.
In the break room, yeah. Exactly. I think we should lighten up about all that stuff. I'm going to spin the wheel of questions coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Ooh, this one's kind of hard, but possibly fun.
Okay, all right. Let's hope so.
If I give you the ability to go back and change one decision you've made in your life, but it can only be one,
yep.
What would you use it on? So, Bergman, you can go back in time and change one decision.
One decision.
But only one. What would you use it on?
Oh, geez. I mean, every decision I've made for Riley, I would never change.
Sure.
Right.
Every decision about my career, I would.
And I was thinking for you, the answer could be you wouldn't have gotten married, but then you wouldn't have Riley.
I wouldn't have Riley.
That's a throwaway.
So, I mean, I guess I could.
You wouldn't have quit our show?
I didn't quit your show.
You quit our show.
You got when you got promoted.
I got promoted, so
total
no,
quitter.
I would not change that because I got promoted.
Oh, okay.
So the only thing I can think of is that I would change getting into a relationship with my ex-girlfriend.
Ah, okay. Like, if you could have avoided that. Like, Jorge, how about you?
It didn't change anything for me. It didn't change my life.
If you could change one decision that you've made in your life, but you only get one, what do you use it on?
I broke my leg when I was 17.
Right, doing what?
Playing soccer.
Okay.
And then we had the tryouts for that college team the following week.
Right.
I wouldn't have gone to that game.
Okay, so you would have taken, then you would have liked to have seen what would have happened in the tryout.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Mace, how about you?
Bought more Bitcoin. Would have bought more Bitcoin. It's up to 30,000 again.
Yeah, you're out of your mind.
No, it's. I'm telling you. It's 28,000. It is real.
I want you to go. Last week, Bill Maher had Ben McKenzie on.
I watched it.
And what was
I mean, it's an opinion like any other.
Right.
I don't know why Ben McKenzie is the keeper of all the
truths. Well, he just wrote a book on it.
Yeah, I know. He wrote a book on it. There's lots of counter study about it. I mean, honestly, I've made more money on Bitcoin than I've made on stocks.
Have you ever taken the money out? That's what.
No, it's an investment.
Right. These guys say when you go to take it out is when you're going to have trouble.
No, I can withdraw it today.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've sold and bought.
But have you ever withdrawn it? Just said, I want to use that money for something.
Yeah,
it goes
into my bank account.
Right.
It goes from my bank. It's linked to my bank account. It goes from my.
What's interesting is the decision is you would have bought more Bitcoin. Mine's the opposite. I invested once in a real estate fund. It's a company that you give them money, and then they invest in real estate. And in the first year, it was an 18% payout, which is almost unheard of.
Right.
So I dumped a bunch more money into it. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, it went belly up.
Yeah. I mean, there's others. I would.
I think you might say you would have come out. Now that you know how it turned out, you would have come out earlier.
No.
You're happy with the timing of when you came out.
Yeah, I mean, it was long and it was hard, but no. I mean,
I mentioned this to you off the air. I was thinking about you when I watched Ted Lasso. The most recent Ted Lasso has a.
Which, by the way, I've changed my opinion on. That was a really good episode.
Yeah, have you watched it, Greg?
I've not watched the newest one.
Yeah. There is you guys will identify right away, but there is a Mason-like character and a Mason-like story arc in this edition of Ted Lasso. And the things that Colin was saying were things that you said to me a long time ago about why you wouldn't come out or why you would and why you wanted to. It was like they stole your script and put it into Ted Lasso.
Right, right.
It was really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have bought stock in on margin back in 2000. I got completely wiped out. I lost every penny I had.
A lot of people did. We wouldn't have invested in internet radio as early as we did.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely
not. Or the horse. Would you guys have bought the horse?
We lost our ass on the horse, but it was fun.
It was fun to stand in the winner's circle, which was really cool.
It was an experience. It wasn't worth what we paid for it, but it was still an experience that I'm glad we had.
I've got a picture of us in the winner's circle at Hollywood Park. And the thing I didn't realize I saw recently, it was right after I broke my leg. So my leg was in a cast while we were in the winner's circle.
Yeah, well, you did one thing that was really smart. That race was televised on KCAL.
Yes.
And I was doing an interview with Tom Murray, and our race was about to start. And Mason ducked out and ran to the window and just took his wallet and said, put all of this on Phone Abroad, which was our horse.
Yes.
And Phone Abroad won, and Mason cleaned up. I never got to the window because I was too busy working. Wow. But I would that story would have had a better ending for me if I would have dumped $200 on Phone Abroad.
Yeah, I threw it on there. What was it, 6-1, 8-1?
At least, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. You bought dinner that night.
I did. It was a very good wager. All right, so, yeah, by the way, my opinion on Ted Lasso has changed. That was a really strong episode.
Pepe says...
We won't spoil it at all.
Pepe says that if I gave him a chance to... change one decision in his life, that he wouldn't have said hi to Michael Thompson the very first time.
Hi, Michael.
Just a pain in his rear.
All right, so it's 4:20 day, so I got a story related.
Yeah, and also a reminder that in 10 minutes, we're doing our 2 o'clock call of the day.
So the NBA is getting ready to let players invest in and promote cannabis under a new union deal.
That's part of the new CBA?
Yeah. It is really, if you think about where we were 10 years ago with cannabis.
And think about where we're going to be 10 years from now.
And where we're going to be down the line. I mean, now a player, I think Mike Tyson has got his own cannabis farm out in the desert.
Biggest cannabis success stories in the world is former NBA player Al Harrington.
Yeah.
He's opened up a whole bunch of dispensaries.
Yeah, so now... you're going to be, and I don't think they're not testing for it anymore.
No, it's out.
It's out.
Yeah. And
it's still in the NFL. I don't know if it's in or out in Major League Baseball.
I don't know, but I would assume that they wouldn't care. Look at Cody Bellinger.
I'll tell you what. First of all, the NBA has always been very heavily cannabis-infused.
Right.
Cannabis-infused. The NFL is very serious about it. Pete Carroll is a guy who says we should be able to use it for pain relief. It's better than Oxy. It's better than
Who was the lineman that went to San Diego State? Kyle Turley.
He
came
right?
out, had a long career, came out and said, if you guys want me to, I can go on OxyContin and, you know, Vicodin and all these hard drugs, but cannabis works way better than all of them, and it's better for my body. Why, you know, and that should be the only argument that people are hearing.
Well, MLB allows cannabis use, but not cannabis sponsorships.
Okay, so they're not testing for cannabis.
No, they treat it the same as alcohol.
Okay, good. So everybody's sort of modernizing on this whole thing. My friends who flew in from Ohio this last May could not believe how many billboards, how many green crosses. It's not legal in Ohio. They're like, oh, my God, this place is like
Tell them to go visit Colorado.
Colorado.
There's a green cross every 10 feet.
Exactly. It's one of those ones that's ultimately going to be legalized everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Your friend Bill Maher has
he's a big proponent of that.
He has led the way. He has led the way. All right. 2 o'clock call of the day. You go ahead and start taking some calls. 877-710-ESPN. We had a very good 2 o'clock call of the day yesterday, John.
What was it about?
It was about Draymond Green.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't had a chance to weigh in on this. Idiotic that the NBA suspended
Draymond Green. Absolutely the right thing to do. Couldn't do it.
I'm with Stephen A. Smith on this. Yeah. I'm like, Stephen A. Smith used the word disgusted.
Yes,
I think that'd be a little stronger word. than I would use, but I'm disappointed that the NBA didn't see the big picture here.
Here's that word.
I'm disgusted with the
NBA.
There
you go. He's disgusted with the NBA.
You guys have heard me give this speech before, but this is a good example of it. The NBA is an entertainment product.
Right.
Part of having an entertainer or an entertaining product is, whether it be a movie, a play, a game, a wrestling match, you need villains. Draymond Green's a villain.
And he got villain treatment.
But, again, I don't understand why you take him off the court.
I do.
Marcus Thompson, who writes for The Athletic, made a good point here that had they just fined him, they already threw him out of game two, a game they lost, so they already paid a price for his antics. Why are they doubling down by kicking a player that's important off? This is the end of the Warriors dynasty if they lose tonight.
Yeah, sorry, that's on Draymond Green. You've got no choice. If you've got a guy stomping on somebody's chest, you cannot allow that to stand. Because where is that line? How many times does he have to stomp on him before he gets suspended? I would argue just once. And I've heard Stephen A. discuss. Stephen A.'s wrong. Stephen A. is absolutely wrong on this. You've got to draw a line and say, you know what? There is a limit to the behavior you're allowed to exhibit on the court. And stomping on one of the other guy's big stars is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. Period. Full stop. Let that marinate.
Okay. But it's okay to you that player grabbed his ankle and instigated it.
He did it. There was a level of instigation, but Draymond did not need to stomp on that guy's chest.
Correct.
Period.
And he got a technical foul and ejected for it. Yeah. Why are we doubling down on more?
Because there's got to be a limit to behavior. You can't just do anything on an NBA court. And I understand entertainment product, all that spot, but it's a competitive sport. It is not like going to a play. It is not like going to a movie. It is a competitive sport. And when you've got somebody that's actually potentially going to cause injury on the floor, you've got to draw the line.
If they didn't eject him and give him a technical foul, I would be more swayed by your argument. But
I would be disgusted if they didn't suspend him.
If they decide to kick him out and then the Warriors lose that game, if the Kings win tonight, and the Kings have been playing really well, it's a tainted series victory. Because the NBA took Draymond off the court. You don't think so? No. Everybody remembers Draymond got suspended when the Cavs won the title.
Oh, and Draymond hasn't gotten any smarter.
Right.
Draymond is still dumb, still out of control, still causing problems on the court, still hurting his team. He's not learned anything from these suspensions.
Do you think had he reacted differently after the stomp?
Yes, I think it would have made a difference.
That if he would have immediately gone to Sabonis and gone...
You mean instead of this?
Right.
Hey, look what I just did!
Not only
not only celebrating what he did, but antagonizing fans and making a scene and
definitely played into it. And also, Draymond's past record plays into it. There is context here, as you mentioned, has been suspended from big games before and hasn't learned a lesson from it. And unless you suspend him, the game potentially gets out of control.
Greg, would you have suspended him?
Absolutely, 100%. You can't step on somebody's chest. And yes, everything that happened afterwards where he was grabbing himself and he's putting his arms in the air and doing all that stuff.
If he doesn't do that.
I still think you suspend him. You can't step on a dude's chest.
Okay, but you guys still think he gets suspended if he doesn't do those histrionics after the stomp?
Yes, I do.
Sabonis didn't do anything right. This is not clearing Sabonis of any wrongdoing. But Draymond stepping on his chest and then jumping into the air is suspendable. That was an absolute suspendable offense. I don't care that it's an entertainment product. He did something that was dangerous.
If the Warriors lose tonight, and that's the end of their dynasty.
It's on Draymond.
Right,
Draymond has screwed up the dynasty.
But I don't.
Not the first time with Draymond on the floor. Anyway,
not the first time Draymond Green has lost a series. This will be number two.
I think the Warriors are going to win tonight. What do you guys think?
I do too. I mean, we looked at it last night. No John, no Giannis, and they still went on to win. It's that missing man theory.
And it's you can't fake desperation. I'll give you an example. So after the Lakers won Game One, I ran into a couple players at the hotel, and I went, do you guys think you can convince yourselves to play like you lost Game One? And both players said, we think so. But, you know, we'll find out. It's hard to rise to the level of the Grizzlies' desperation last night. Because if they lost, if the Grizzlies would have lost that game, they're pretty much dead, right?
Yeah. Oh, down 0-2, blowing the two home games?
If the Lakers lose, they kind of got what they came for.
Yeah, they got the split.
And I think they kind of played like that.
Yeah.
But I like where they're at. I think particularly AD. I think the and by the way, if you have tickets for Saturday or Monday, the Memphis crowd was as loud as I've ever heard them. This could be really fun for people that are going to the games on Saturday and Monday. It's an electric. If you guys match the intensity of the Grizzlies, you'll make a difference. It was really crazy down there.
By the way, Crypto Ray, I'm with Venice Mace on Bitcoin. I've taken Bitcoin in and out easily to the moon.
Well, I hope so. If your name is Crypto Ray.
Hey, talking about Golden State Warriors. What do you think the line is on the game tonight?
Golden State -1.
I would say Golden State -3.
Golden State -6.5.
Ooh. Okay, so they're
six thinking, and a half.
Yeah. They're not going down without a fight. Correct. That's what they're betting.
All right, give me 20K on Golden State.
Golden State 20K.
Wow, I like it.
Yeah, that's a
I like it.
Bet.
Wow, taking it.
Bold.
All right, coming up 2 o'clock call of the day, and then after that, should we reveal the cast for our show for the movies?
Yeah, we will do that.
So if you're just joining us, we're stealing an idea from Robert Griffin III, who casted an entire Jalen Hurts movie. So Mason and I and Greg, Jorge, did you do it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so all four of us cast the ESPN LA movie. We already gave our choices for Travis and Slee, and next we'll do Mason and Ireland.
All right, that's coming up next for you, plus 2 o'clock all the day, 710 ESPN.
Mason thought I wouldn't do it.